Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
I am just so excited to be here every time. Your family, we love you. And I got to say that your worship is like, wow, it's going up all the time. It's just getting higher and higher. And I see new authority come on you and Brian. It's just growing every time I see you guys. So let's give them a hand. Amen. You love your pastors. And I just got to love to hang out with Tom and Elizabeth last night. Tom and I, we're buds. We're like, we're so alike in a lot of ways. So great hanging out. I was totally ready to come up here with, like, you know, hat and gloves and all kinds of stuff. You know, it's like the North Country, but it's not. But I lived in Maine for 40 years. So, you know, it kind of reminded me of a story, a Maine story. This older couple were in Western Maine and they had their farm surveyed. And the surveyor went out around the big farm and everything and came back and he said, "Actually, I've got good news and bad news." He said, "The good news is that you got much more land than you thought you had. You got like an extra 100 acres. He said, "Wow, that's amazing." "But the bad news is you're actually living in New Hampshire, not Maine. You're over the line." And so he said, "Well, as far as I'm concerned, that's not bad news at all, to know that Ma and I will never spend another Maine winter." So, you know, that was good to know. So we love talking about revival. I actually drove up here today through town, past a Methodist church that my mom and dad met at a prayer meeting there as they were going to Cornell University in 1948. And so, you know, I prayed over the building. And 50 years ago this month, my wife and I met at a prayer meeting. So this is just jubilee time for me, you know, in that whole thing. But I love the theme of everyday revival. I'm really excited about that. And we're going to go to the Song of Songs, chapter 8. I tend to go to that book a lot because it's a lover book. And revival is about love. Did you know that? It's about falling in love with Jesus. It's about a romance together with Jesus. And I think all of us love the flashpoints. You know, me in particular, I love the idea of a whole town coming on fire for God, whole town being transformed. We're believing for some of that stuff in 2024. One reason we can believe for it is because it's happened in the past. There's a little town called Rochester, New York, that in 1830 was totally transformed by the power of God. Did you know this? There was hardly anybody not saved in Rochester, New York. But with Charles Finney, they shut down the bars, they shut down everything. The police even shut down because there was no crime. That's what I want to see. That happened, you know, in Ithaca and Scranton and Harrisburg. And so we're believing for that again. There are flashpoints happening. Florida State University last week, 4,000 students gathered together. They had 400 saved and baptized right there on campus. This is, give the Lord a hand, that's a secular campus. So good things are happening. We just got to keep believing and keep our eyes on what the Lord is doing. So I love those flashpoints, but you know, revivals only start with individuals and revivals that happen in your own personal heart. And we call this everyday revival. And it's awakening to your first love. It happens with a few people. It happens with you first, right? I remember this one day, the Lord had me go around Oakland, Maine, where I pastored. And I used to play trumpet. And so I was thinking about Jericho. I was thinking about the walls coming down. So I got my trumpet and I drove around town blowing my trumpet. I drove around the city, let the walls come down, you know. Did it about 7 in the morning with my window shut, by the way. And so I got done, and I came back up to the church, and And the Lord said, thank you, you know, you did what I told you to do. Now, what about the walls in your own heart? You know, revival starts right here with each of us, you know, and that's really what he wants. So Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 5, who is this one, this bride? Look at her now. She arises out of her desert, out of her wilderness, clinging to her beloved. That's where it begins. We really need him. We cling to him. We find out we're at the end of ourselves, and we really need God. That's where revival starts. We need you. Help. I think when we look around at our nation today, that's what we're saying. Help. We look at our cities. Help. We're desperate. We need something to happen, and it comes through that leaning on God, just because we need him so very, very much. Some of us have been through a wilderness lately, you know. I think since COVID, there's been some wildernesses happening with people's lives. And the place of suffering is where we find glory. You know, no suffering can be compared to the weight of glory that he is doing within us, that he wants to reveal through us. And that's always a good thing to remember, right? When you're going through trials, there is gold coming out of those trials if we trust him. Wow, that's so good to know. You come to the place of your own lack, your own failure, the end of your own effort, and that's when deep calls on to deep. You find yourself calling out with a desperation. There's no revival that's ever happened without desperation. Of just, God, if you don't show up, we might as well go home. We might as well just, you know, pack it in to find that travail. It says here when I awakened you under the apple tree, as you were feasting upon me, I awakened your innermost being with the travail of birth as you longed for more of you. You know, it comes to the point where, God, I need more of you. I'm not satisfied with what I have. What is in my life, it's not going to do it anymore. I desperately need more of you. That's where everyday revival starts. It really does. And if you want to know, you know, I could give you 12 steps or something of revival, personal revival. But really, if there was one thing I could say to you, it's the secret place. The secret place. Jesus said, you know, when you want to pray, go into the secret place and talk to my Father. And your Father will see what's done in secret, and then he will reveal it, you know, in public. That's where it has to be. That's where it has to start. That's where it has to be in our lives. And if we have a pure heart and go after him like that, we hunger after him, it says we're going to see him. The pure in heart see God. And I think that's what really changes our life, when we see him. You know, maybe not physically see him, but in your spirit, you begin to see who he really is. Because there's no way you can see Jesus without it changing you in a profound way. Maybe it's watching The Chosen, and all of a sudden you get a glimpse of who he is. Or you just have an encounter in prayer, or you see him in some other person. But when we see him, we're changed. We have encounters and we're changed in those things because we see the awe of God. You know, it says in Hebrews 1:3, the sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the outshining effluence of God's glory, and it brings you trembling into his presence. Wow. 1 John 3:1-3. I love this because it talks about seeing him, and that's how we see him, how we hear him, is to find our secret place. 1 John 3, let's just take a quick look at that. You know, John is a guy that did that. He had his own personal revival every day. He loved to lean on Jesus' breast. He loved to be close to him. He wasn't satisfied from a distant or being a spectator. 1 John 3:1, look with wonder at the depth of the Father's marvelous love that he has lavished on us. He has called us and made us his very own beloved children. The reason the world didn't recognize who we are is that they didn't recognize him. Beloved, we are God's children right now. However, it's not yet apparent what we will become, but we know that when it's visible, we will be just like him, for we will see him as he truly is. And all who focus their hope on him will be purifying themselves as Jesus is pure. How do you purify yourself? You can't do it on your own effort. How do you purify yourself? You get in his presence. There's something about the glory of God that affects your life. Being in the presence of God. This morning I felt it as we were in worship. I felt his presence coming on me, and I felt like I was being changed. I was being changed off of, you know, my eyes on myself and onto the world. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Beautiful thing. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. I love just flipping around in the word here. It says, now as you continue to make your new life fully manifested, as you live in the holy awe of God, which brings you trembling into his presence. Wow. That's the way to live in the wonder and awe of God every day, which if you see him, you're going to be like that. You're going to feel him, feel his presence. There was a life-changing day I had. I think encounters with God do it. I had a life-changing day in Istanbul, Turkey. And we were there with a tourist group, and I just felt to go and pray. You know, I have these prayer assignments, you know. And yesterday I had one in Scranton. I was driving all around these back roads in Scranton just praying in tongues and just, you know, release that revival. And so I told Georgian, my in-law, I said, I felt like the Lord's having me to go down to pray today at the Blue Mosque. And he said, okay, be blessed. Go and get killed. Go get killed if you want to. I don't know. But anyway, I just really felt to do that. So it's like I went in the Blue Mosque praying in tongues and just kind of secretly, covertly disrupting some things. And then I went over into and prayed over the harbor. And then I went into Hagia Sophia, which was the largest church of Christianity for like 500 years. And so I'm in there, and I was just thinking about this huge temple. And the Lord spoke to me about Isaiah 66. He said, the heavens are mine, and the earth is my footstool. Who can build a house that I can dwell in? This beautiful temple, but yet, you know, the presence of God had left. And he said, so where can I dwell? And then it goes on to say, I dwell in a contrite and humble heart. That's where I like to live 24/7. And it really touched my heart in that whole thing. And it goes on to say, and those that tremble at my word. It said, and them I'll reveal my glory to. And that changed my life, because I said, what does that mean to tremble at your word? Like, as an American, I have no clue what that means, you know, because we don't like to tremble at anything. But the thing is, when we really see Jesus as he really is, believe me, you're going to start trembling. Mm-hmm. I had an encounter with him as a new Christian. I didn't know much of anything, but as I'm at this Baptist camp, I had an open trance. And I saw Jesus coming in the clouds of glory. And I'll never forget the shining of his face, and just that hope, my whole bed just started shaking. When you see God as he really is, then it's going to put you on your face. I think if Jesus walked in here right now, I don't think any of us would be sitting. We would be on the floor, because he's majesty. He's majestic. And so isn't this a good word here? It says that we should live our lives in holy awe of God as we come trembling into his presence. God will continually revitalize us. That's revival. continually revitalizes, well, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. That takes away religion. Religion, well, I'm supposed to be a good person. I'm supposed to do this and do this and everything else. Revival is when your heart catches on fire and you want to do what God wants you to do. Your desires become his desires. Wow. And then what happens after that happens to you? When your desires becomes his, it says you're going to live a cheerful life without complaining. And it says, and then you'll be seen as innocent, pure children of God as you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture. And you will appear to be them as shining lights, offering them the words of life. That's everyday revival. Living in all, living as pure children in a perverse generation, as shining lights, giving out the words of life. Wow, to everyone. And the love of God is such that you fall in love with everybody. That's one way you know you're in revival. It's all of a sudden you start loving everybody. And you just become his instrument, you know, in that. I'm going to close up here with chapter 8 of Song of Solomon, verses 6 and 7. And this is about fire, because fiery passion is what keeps us going when you're having a bad day. when the devil is trying to pour water on everything that you're trying to do, and it's not feeling like like bliss on a particular day. Whoa. And has to do with that fire of passion of God that he puts on you. Verse 6, fasten me upon your heart as a seal of fire forever. This living consuming flame will seal you as a prisoner of love. My passion is stronger than the chains of death in the grave. All consuming is the very flashes of fire from the burning heart of God. Place this fear on relenting fire over your entire being. I'd say that's revival. I'd say that's every day something happening. You know, John Wesley, he was an everyday revivalist. And he was actually pulled out of a fire as an infant, and his life was saved in the midst of a house fire. And then that fire of the Holy Spirit came upon him, and revival happened. And the other Episcopal Anglican priests were saying to him, John, how do you do it? How do people, you gather people in the fields, and we can't even get them in the church? And he says, very simple. Every morning, I get up at 4 a.m., I light myself on fire with God, and then people come and watch me burn. I think that's the answer. Not necessarily 4 o'clock, unless the Lord is doing that. I did start a new thing last week, which I'm sure it's already helping me. I committed to our church down in Harrisburg from 6 to 7 every morning, I'm going to just be hanging out with Jesus. And it's already changing my life. You know, every morning I do get up and I love my coffee and I love being in the Word. I'm addicted to that. But to just hang out for an hour with the Lord and not do anything, that's a little tougher, you know, for our American mindset. Because my brain is saying, I need to be doing something. Well, hello, hanging out with Jesus is the most important thing you could ever do in your entire life. It's more important than being a scholar or whatever. So I know it's going to change my life. I challenge you today to find a secret place. Just take some time. Start with 15 minutes, if that's where you're starting. But find a place where it's just you and him, and you can just hear his heart and, you know, feel his desires. That's what it is to wait upon the Lord. You know, it's not just sitting there, well, I got 15 minutes left, like, I'm waiting on the Lord to show up. That's not what it is. The word in the Hebrew, it actually means to intertwine. So you are wrapping yourself around Jesus. And what's happening is his desires are becoming your desires, and your desires are becoming his desires. You know, you have these tough prayers about, I want God's will for my life. You know, I'm afraid to do anything that's not God's will. You know, but literally the word will means desires. So desire means that which comes of the Father. And so if you're hanging out with your dad, you're hanging out with Jesus, your desires become his desires. It gets interwoven, and you can't tell one from the other. And that's pretty neat. And even in Song of Songs 8:1, it says, if only I could show everyone this passionate desire that I have for you, that I'll never be embarrassed or without shame, and I don't care who's watching me. That's what I was when I was a Jesus freak. I didn't care who was watching me, and I didn't care who I was telling about Jesus. I could care less, but I had to tell you about Jesus. You know, and I want that back. That's part of my prayer. Bring the Jesus freak back at 70. I want that. Maybe I don't, you know, if I have to grow my hair again, I'll do that. But if that's what it takes, but I'm thinking not. I'm thinking you could do it without it. But, you know, that's part of my personal prayer. And it talks about the flashes of lightning, of flame from heaven. Lightnings from the throne of God into your heart. And that's when you're with him and you're calling on him, there are lightnings that can come in your heart. You can feel them. I felt them yesterday as I was driving up here with these worship songs on. I think we're going to play one in a minute. And it just, boom, lightning hit me. And these lightnings of God, they give you more authority too. And wow. Yeah, in September, a bolt of lightning came 100 yards from me, hit like there. And yeah, that'll wake you up in the morning. And but then this leader in New Jersey spoke a prophetic word. That was not just a coincidence. There's going to be lightnings of God coming in through your lives. And that happened when we went to the monastery last September about that time. And I just did start feeling more authority, you know, over the works of darkness, over the things of my life, to take authority and to rule over those things. Yeah. That's how you get more authority, is to hang out with Jesus, because he owns everything. Yeah. And so if you become tight with him, then he gives you more authority over darkness. And yeah, nothing will stop it. I'm going to end with this story. Here in verse 7, yeah. I hope you followed me today, because I kind of went around a lot of scriptures. You know, I tend to do that. Rivers of pain and persecution will never extinguish the flame of revival in you. Endless floods will not be able to quench the raging fire that burns within you. Everything will be consumed. It will stop at nothing as you yield everything to this furious fire, until it won't even seem like a sacrifice anymore. You know, if the fire's strong enough, nothing can put it out. You know, my example was when I was building my house in Maine, I had a big brush pile. It was probably 15 feet high, and I wanted to burn it up. So, you know, you don't want to catch the whole forest on fire. So I picked there was snow on the ground, it was a rainy day, very safe day to do it, but then how do you light the fire? That's the question. So I took a whole gallon of gasoline, poured it over the pile, and then I put it over here, all the way over here to like, you know, 100 feet away, and I lit the thing. Man, it exploded. It exploded. Boom. And it was a cold, rainy day, but man, that thing burned right up. It was awesome. And I always think about this, that, yeah, it doesn't matter. If the fire is bright enough, nothing will quench it. I got to preach this in India one time, and I was preaching about Petro, you know, if you have enough Petro, it will burn. If you have enough Holy Spirit, it'll burn. And it was awesome. I mean, people got filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a demon-possessed woman that jumped up, and I pointed my finger. She fell out and got saved. And I was, man, authority of God. I was feeling the fire of God and all that. But as I was walking back to the hotel, you know how it was? I was kind of feeling proud of myself. Like, I'm the man of God. I got the authority of God. And so this homeless person motioned me over. And I said, oh, I'll take your picture. So I took the camera up there, and he pulled out a cobra and put it in my face. And I ran back to the hotel, locked the door, like, the authority was gone. It was just, this, it has to be from the Lord. It can't be from you. the Lord has ways of humbling us. But I love this last part here. Until it won't seem like a sacrifice anymore. That's when you know you're really in revival. There is no cost when you're in love. I know, because 50 years ago, I fell in love with my wife at a prayer meeting. The next year, we got engaged, and I became a tree climber, which is a very dangerous thing to do. You know, hanging around in trees all day with a chainsaw and doing all this stuff. Exhausting work. But every night, never even thought about it, I'm down to her house, you know, half hour away, until 11 at night, just talking, and then exhausted, get up the next morning. Never even thought about the cost. When you're really in love, you don't care about the cost. You can't get enough of the Lord. And that is personal revival. That's everyday revival. Whoa. So let's all stand together. I got a song that I want to share with you. And I wanted to just like to challenge you today to find a secret place every morning. It will change your life. It will be an everyday revival. Because when you get touched by the Lord each morning, it's going to cause you to sail through your day in a way that nothing else does. It will cause you to have a whole different outlook on your lives. If you really see him, you know, Jesus says, as you see the end times, as you see my return, he said, watch and pray. Watch and pray, and beware that your heart doesn't get weighed down with pleasures, comforts, and the cares of this life. And the way to do that is to spend time with Jesus. Take every burden, take every care, and give it to him. Father, we just thank you right now that you're stirring our hearts for that secret place to see you and to meet with you every day. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.